Hi, I'm Kyle Sweet, General Counsel for CCW Safe. And I'm here today with my friend Don West, who is CCW Safe's National Trial Counsel. And Don, we're going to talk a little bit about some questions that we often get from people, that people in this industry often get. And one of the things we hear occasionally is from a prospective member is, shouldn't I be able to hire my own lawyer if I'm involved in an incident and need one? What are your thoughts on whether a layperson who's been involved in a use of force incident, whether they should be hiring or in any position to hire, make the decision who to hire to be their lawyer?
Yes, I think that's an important question and one that's certainly worth discussing in some detail. If you're involved in a self-defense shooting, it is an absolutely traumatic experience for you, one that will change your life forever, and one that you need highly specialized, experienced help at that point. Criminal defense trial practice is a specialty. Board certifications in criminal trial, for example, many states throughout the country have that. If you are in that moment of trying to deal with what's going to happen with the rest of your life, you need that lawyer on the spot then. And frankly, it's highly unlikely that you know a lawyer. You certainly can't call the family divorce lawyer or the bankruptcy lawyer or even have time to call a friend to ask a friend to find you a lawyer. You need that lawyer that's been vetted, that has the experience and the training to get to work right away.
Well, one thing I think, too, that people don't think about is in our current, you know, climate culturally and politically, if you are involved in a use of force incident, the likelihood if it occurred now, you're going to be subject to intense media scrutiny. And a lot of lawyers, although they may have had a 30 or 40 year career as a criminal defense lawyer, may have found their likeness on TV a couple of times, but being able to conduct yourself under the focus of a national media spectacle is something very few lawyers have experience with, unlike yourself. I mean, you've lived through that for a prolonged period of time. Can you talk a little bit about the skill set it takes to navigate a client through the waters of a national media spectacle?
You know, in this day and age, it seems like any gun use case is controversial.
That's true.
It really is. And having been there helps. Certainly having an appreciation for media relations help, knowing what to say, but probably more importantly, especially early on, knowing what not to say, I think is critically important. And maybe first and foremost is not having an inexperienced lawyer that turns the attention to the lawyer instead of the case. You hear about high profile cases with lawyers that jump into them. Why? Unfortunately, sometimes because they want the attention. And I don't see that as a good mix. Certainly there will be attention that comes to any controversial gun case, but most importantly, a lawyer with some perspective and some experience and frankly, perhaps even a media relations consultant or some assistance in that regard.
Well, and I think in a lot of cases, like in the experience you've had with these high-profile cases, particularly the ones you've tried to success on this, where self-defense has been a defense to the underlying charge, the client will never actually testify. Is that an accurate statement?
You know, that's a tricky question. And what that really tells me is how important it is to have a lawyer who can make that decision. Self-defense around the country requires, typically, it requires the defense to put on some showing of self-defense. And once that showing has been made, then the burden shifts to the prosecution to prove it wasn't self-defense. And I think that's in 49 of the 50 states. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the defense has to get some of that evidence before the jury. And if that can be done without the defendant testifying, then you have the choice. A lot of times, though, there is not that evidence unless the defendant takes the stand and explains how and what and why it happened.
And that's a great point. And I guess what I was kind of getting at is in cases where you may make a legal judgment that I can't have this client testify under these facts, then the average person out there in the world will never know. The only perception they'll have over your client is, or over the client, is the lawyer who's on all the talk shows and giving all the interviews. And if you have a lawyer who's only seeking the spotlight for his or herself, your client, the client takes on the image, the perception of the lawyer. So you really need somebody who's been through it before, because as somebody on who's not a criminal defense lawyer, I'm a civil defense lawyer, you know, I don't want somebody assigned to me if I was in this situation who's using my case to learn on the job. You know, I want someone who's been through the fire.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. What you also find, of course, is that sometimes the publicity and the media focus is very, very lopsided. And while a lawyer should not publicize him or herself or the case for the sake of publicity, it's clearly ethical and sometimes required to make some public statements to even the playing field, so that what the public hears about the case has a greater reflection of what actually happened as opposed to the adversarial part of it. And that's even further complicated, I think, when there's sometimes third parties involved. It could be the shooting victim's family or other representatives that get involved in the mix. And then it becomes critically important, I think, to have a well-balanced, appropriate, ethical, yet effective media presence.
Well, and what comes out of your mouth as the attorney will be used to judge the perception of your client.
Yes, absolutely. From the beginning, I think, until the end, and certainly experience, if nothing else, teaches us that that voice has to be credible from beginning to end, even at the earliest points in the case, throughout the discovery phase, through the trial, at the very end, that voice needs to be consistent and confident and clear.
Well, and I think that illustrates the point of kind of the ethos that we've always used at CCW Safe in the selection of our defense counsel. We have a program in place that that we seek lawyers who want to be form a relationship with us, and they can access our infrastructure through the website, and we get lawyers regularly who want to be on our panel, and mm-hmm. we vet them. We check their references, and we vet them through what their experiences are and their with these types of cases. And also, we if a member has somebody they want to use, we'll certainly look at them. We're not going to completely ignore what a member wants, but at the end of the day, none of us would ever accept a doctor doing surgery on us mm-hmm. who said, "I've never done one of these, but I'm excited to try." None of us would allow any doctor to touch ourselves or anyone we cared about if that doctor did not have experience doing that very procedure. And I think people lose sight of the fact that us as lawyers, we specialize just like people do in the medical community.
Yes.
The days of a small town Marcus Welby kind of doctor who knows a little bit about everything is really, it's evolving in medicine, and it's evolving in the law as well. And what you mm-hmm. find in the legal world is a lot of people practice very small niche areas. And even within criminal defense, you're not one of those $500 DUI guys that hangs around the courthouse waiting to talk to people who show up for arraignments. You're located and practice the high-end criminal defense world, where people's literal lives are at stake, and that's not something you can just flip to a phone book and find someone with that type of experience.
Well, I think CCW Safe is true to its word, that we put the resources where they're needed and when they're needed. That includes not just counsel, but of course investigators and such. My comments about picking your own lawyer or not, or using your own lawyer, is focused on that critical moment. I get those calls late at night when something has happened. Sometimes it's even from the jail, and the member needs help. They need help right away. If we have an affiliate attorney in that community, call them up and they go to work immediately. If we don't have someone there, then I take on the responsibility of finding that experienced lawyer, the one that meets our own criteria with experience, extensive experience trying criminal cases, experience in self-defense areas, those that have distinguished themselves within the legal community, that participate in various organizations, and someone who is credible within the system. That's what we need to do right then. Now, that being said, if a member knows a lawyer that they think would meet our standards for effective criminal defense in a self-defense scenario, I'm certainly happy to talk with them. I would welcome the opportunity to expand our network of affiliated attorneys, but not at that moment when I get that call at 2 o'clock. I want the opportunity to talk with them, to work with them, and to be confident that when I need to call them, they will be there and they'll be the right lawyer at the right time.
I look forward to talking more with you, Don, as we kind of explore some of the other questions that we get about the legal aspect of what legal service membership plans mm-hmm. do for concealed weapon carriers. And it's never more important a time to have this information than it is now. And I look forward to continuing this discussion.
Thank you, Kyle.